Hello, this is Lisa Russick with the podcast We Are All Psychic, and today we have a really cool guest. I can just tell because we're all psychic, and his name is Nick. Nick, would you like to say hello?
Howdy, folks. Thanks for having me on, Lisa.
I am really glad you're here. And Nick, I have a question for you right away. There's three of me in here. We all three want to know if you think we're all psychic.
Got it. The answer is the same for all three. And the answer is yes. And the way that I ask the question a lot when I'm in front of folks, because I like to bring the dots together and make this conversation a little more relatable.
Yeah.
And so the question I ask is typically, have you ever had the feeling someone was going to call, they were going to text, and then magically they do, right? Like that's the easy one. And a lot of folks mm-hmm. have that experience, right?
Oh yeah.
And so the simple answer is yes. It's just a matter of, are you paying attention to it? And have you done anything about it?
And some people just love coincidences. They just refuse that there is no such thing as coincidences idea.
No such thing.
No. Things can't be that random that happen.
In our house. I mean, sometimes things happen in our house and we're like, oh, that's weird. And it's like, no, you know, let's back out of that. You know, that's amateurs thinks they're coincidences. We don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. There's something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, definitely. So have you been raised around that kind of mindset? Was it always there for you, or did you kind of grow into it? Have you always felt things and known things, or?
You know, this latest iteration of talking with animals is way beyond anything that ever happened. I mean, it was probably 30 years that I would have what I recently just learned the label, which is the name of it, which is clairvoyant dreams. So having a dream about seeing a random dog on a random corner in a random city, right? That type of thing. And,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like the next day, next week, next month, you drive by that random dog on that random corner in that random city, right? And you're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So that started showing up for me when I was 20.
Yeah.
And I recently told someone, because they said the same, they asked me the same question, like, has this been a thing for you for a long time? No, but let me share this thing, clairvoyant dreams. And their response was, and you thought that was normal? And I didn't think it was normal, but there was no information tied to it. Yeah. There was nothing to do about it. It was really just like,
it was a random thing. I mean, totally there wasn't an ultimate statement about this dog. I have a lot of experiences like that, that doesn't have any seemingly meaning. It's just, I dreamt about that. It could be years ago. And it's just the chair sitting like that on that porch.
100%. You know? 100. Yeah. And it's not lucid dreams, and it's not deja vu. No.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I dreamed this. I can remember waking up and thinking about it for a minute.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. And I've had some big events like that too. So, mm-hmm. Where I remember I was married to my first husband. And I had a dream that I was married to my second husband, and I had dated him before, so I knew who he was in the dream.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was overweight, and we were right in front of this Christmas tree, and he had a coat on, I had a dress on. And I used to weigh a lot more. I did. And I used to was thin. And then I gained weight because I couldn't walk for a couple of years because of feet problems. So I gained a lot of weight. And, you know, of course, that did happen. But it was a good 8 years in between the dream and then actually standing there with him by the Christmas tree and going, oh, I remember that. So that was something bigger that I did wake up remembering and thinking, oh, my God, like that would ever happen, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're trippy. They're totally strange. And I didn't talk about it for a very long time until 2017, because it was like, how do you explain?
Yeah.
I think I time travel in my dreams. Like that was the closest thing I can actually, articulate.
That people might like, that be just what you're weird. Doing.
Yeah. That just sounds weird. Yeah. Maybe something else is happening. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think.
Well,
so.
You know, I really think that something I believe as a medium is that the spiritual realm is outside of our concept of time or our construct of time.
Yeah.
So of living people's time. And that's just kind of what they've explained to me. And they don't really know how to explain it. They just like, there's no time, but that's the best way. That's the only way we can explain it. But that's how they explain how they can be all over the place at once. To us at one time, say like Archangel Michael, he's everywhere, you know,
right.
Jesus, he's there, y'all. Well, whoever you pray to, they're everywhere all the time. saints and gods and deities are all everywhere. You know, how can they do
they
that?
They have their own rules. Yeah. Then
it's got to be something to do with time, you know, and that makes sense that you could be time traveling or your spirit could be accessing. I'm thinking just a random thing here, accessing the spirit realm and being able to be fluid in time that we know like a spirit, you know,
for sure.
Yeah, but why would you go look at that dog, right?
Right. And it really is totally random. Like there's nothing helpful about it, which why I just kicked it down the road for a long time.
Right.
Until 2017, where I sat down with a cactus. I sat down with San Pedro. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I sat down with it and I had a wonderful time. And coming out of that psychedelic experience, I just wanted to figure it out. I wanted to understand, like, what is this thing showing up, right? And it was just closed door after closed door after closed door. And then I met a gentleman who's now a dear friend and colleague. And his response to me was, I think something's tapping you on the shoulder. He's a psychic. And I was like, man, like, that's such a, like, non-satisfactory answer for me. Because I wanted something really tangible, you know?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a hard no, like, you know, lucid dreams, like, you know, whatever, deja vu. I'm like, no, those are definitely not it. And he just gave me this little hole to just dream about. And that turned into a weekly meditation, which is what all this is about. Like that's the practice. You come back to a weekly meditate, daily, weekly, whatever meditation. But that's at the root of all of this. And that started to change things quite a bit.
Yeah, I would say every guest we've had, if they have if we have to ask for advice or they get somewhere where they started, it's always with meditation. Meditation is the key, you know, if you quiet your mind or do whatever meditating is for each individual, you know, because I can listen to music sometimes not, you know, or I can dance and kind of meditate, you know, like with the trying to let the energy move my body, for example, and do yoga that way and work with the energy. And there's all kinds of ways to do it too, you know, and make it feel it flow through your body. And that's when I think a lot of people really can believe there's something else as well. If they have some kind say energy healing like Reiki, or they have a near death experience, a lot of people feel energy with that and learn things, you know, but people who wouldn't usually, you know, say this was something that could happen. You're like, but they have had, I'm sure they, I don't know anyone. I've explained what you're talking about to people, you know, like
the clairvoyant dreams.
Yeah. I had this dream in 2019 and it's happening right now. It doesn't mean anything, but why? You know, and I forgot about the dream too. So most of the time until it pops up in real life. And then I'll remember even, like I said earlier, waking up or even writing it down or something, you know, when I was younger, I'd write everything down. So it's just, I can't imagine that anyone doesn't have that experience, right? Because
I think we all have something that happens and it really is our choice to pay attention to it or dismiss it.
You're right. We all have our kind of
own. Could be dreams. It could be what are you feeling? Something could be, I walk by this house and I get this sense of this thing. Well, do you know the history of the house? Like maybe something happened there, right? Like there could be a thing that shows up for you. So like that was one of the things that took a while for me to really come to terms with, like just the oddities of when you go from not hearing, seeing, feeling things to then hearing, seeing, feel, like there's this reality shift.
Yes.
And for months, like I was in this in between place. Which is not healthy. Like it's
a liminal space. You're
just, oh my goodness. Yeah. And so like to employ discernment and to employ skepticism is good to a certain degree. However, you know, when it keeps showing up, you got to choose a lane. And that was the conversation I had with myself. Like I metaphorically sat down and said, oh, you got to choose a lane. Like either this is real and these things happen or it's not. Just choose. It doesn't matter. Just choose. But you got to choose one. In between doesn't work.
It doesn't. It's hard. Yeah. And do you find that when you, yes, we know what you chose. He says yes to the question. So when you find, like, me saying yes to that question, really believing it, you know, we are psychic, we are an energy workers, we have an energy system, we have things going on that we need looking at, we scientists shift your attention back to metaphysics, involve it again, you know, like they did in the olden days before churches said, no, don't do that anymore. But they really could. I mean, astrology is as old as astronomy, as old as the oldest sciences, as far as we know, as astrology has always been here. They find cave drawings. My Reiki teacher, she's from the Isui Reiki line. She saw some of the Reiki symbols on some old cave drawings from like way back 20,000 years ago or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And the Dr. Asui just made up the symbols after a while, as far as we know, or they were given to him. He's the original Reiki person who just was given the knowledge of Reiki.
Super cool. So, wow, that's super cool. Yeah. Nice.
So listeners and watchers, I forgot to mention, this is a video podcast on Spotify. And Nick was going to teach us a little bit about something, some idea he has. And I really think it's a good one. So I was like, Tell us about it.
Should we do it? Yeah. So a lot of this was showing up for me, and that in between world didn't work. Right. And it was, there was a explicit point in commitment where I said, okay, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go figure out whatever it is that shows up. And so, I'm working with folks now around committing to your intuition so you can use your intuition to commit to whatever it is, the thing that you want to build, the life you want to have, the relationships you want. But before you can actually use it, you need to really commit to your actual intuition. And so for me, there's a few parts to it. And I like to define what intuition is, because here's the conversation I've had with folks is, okay. Oh yeah, I know what intuition is, right? Like it's that gut feeling, right? Yeah. Well, yeah. Tell me more about that. And this was a conversation I had with a gentleman at a gathering, we'll call it.
Okay.
And he's talking about this gut feeling, and I thought it was going to be a productive conversation. And I asked him, well, what do you do? What do you do for a living? And he's like, I make people who have a lot of money. And I'm like, that's a little different than how I think about it. Like not to say, a lot of money is bad, but like that attitude that's coming across, it's not resonating with me.
Yeah.
Not working for me. So I like to say, first, there's an intention. What are you doing? For me, it's super simple. Best and highest self for yourself or others, whatever that actually means in practice.
Yeah.
It's very individualistic, but
yes,
that's the starting point, right?
I love that. Yeah.
And then let's talk about that gut feeling. There's a version in my world where there's that knowing, but then it expands into the psychic clairs, right? It's the basic physical senses, but then we have a psychic version of it, hearing things, feeling things, mm-hmm. seeing things, tasting, smelling, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So intention and the clairs, for me, that's the definition of intuition, psychic ability, whatever your favorite term is. Some folks like to poo-poo psychic.
I like it because it's a catchy title. I psychic is the job title too. That's so what it usually. Is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a place down the street that gives intuitive readings. And for years, I'm like, what is that? And then someone said, oh, it's a psychic reading. I'm like, why don't they just say psychic? I'm confused. Anyway.
Because they didn't like the connotation, because like psychic is very close to a long time ago, especially more associated with scammers, psychic would be, especially in the South, there's a lot where I live, there's a lot of scammers. So they usually get run out pretty quick, after a little while, but the sneaky ones can stay for a little while because they don't scam everybody. Right. They're really psychic though. They're really psychic and they know people's weaknesses. That's why I think that's really a bad mojo. They're really energetic. They're really working with their energy, and that's how they decide to do it. It's kind of trick people. And, not everybody, though. I've just seen that a lot in the South, and it's especially like more so before it got as popular as it did when the pandemic hit. And it was starting to get more popular in like 2018, 2019. People start, younger people with cards and learn astrology and everything. But when everybody got stuck at home, We thought about ourselves and who are we? What are these things like you experienced? What was that? And they want to know. And it's continued, I think,
I think so too.
Curiosity.
For sure. Yeah. So there's more to it than three steps, but I typically talk about like three critical steps. And the first one is committing to your intuition. There's, like I said, there's that no in between. You got to pick a lane.
Yeah.
So yes is good. No is good. I prefer the yes, obviously, but you just have to choose, right? And so the way that showed up for me, like super clearly, was when I was spending time with the cactus one day, with San Pedro, and I was having such a light time with it. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to get anything today. Like it's, I had a hard time even drinking it. Like it was just,
yeah,
it wasn't really happening all that much. And then things started to show up, and then I started to feel a little nauseous, which isn't uncommon for a lot of people.
Right.
Not very common for me, but for a lot of folks it is. And, I'm feeling nauseous and I start to spy a palm tree and I'm like, that's going to be my friend in a little bit.
You know? You found your guide.
Yeah. My guide to lean against. And I purge. There's no puking when you're doing plant medicine. It's all purging, right? That's the name. Yeah. Yes. And as I puked, I heard you like to live between worlds. And I was like, oh man, that's about commitment.
Wow. And it will kind of makes me think of you and your dreams living in between worlds too. That's the first thing I thought of, but you're right. What you're saying about walking in between the two. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, oh boy, that's a big lesson. I got something today, right? Good score for today.
Yeah.
And then about 20 minutes later, I'm feeling nauseous again. And I'm like, man, whoever's listening, I'd really prefer not to do this again. And as soon as I think that, I'm heads down, looking at the concrete, you know, guts are coming up. And I thought, what a shitty word, prefer. Like what an awful word to use in the context of commitment. Like, so what does commitment look like right now? Like right now, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And I made sounds that I could not repeat. I just couldn't reproduce them.
Purge.
Yeah, everything come out like this. Yeah. If this is the lesson about committing, then let's do it. Let's start right now.
Yeah.
And it was as awful as it is in the moment. It was wonderful afterwards. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like you can kind of talk to yourself. Like there's two of you, but you can have a dialogue with yourself is what it sounds like for you to.
Is that not typical?
I don't know. I have a dialogue with like it. I just call it it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like, it's telling me. So I think of it as my intuition probably, but yeah. I'll have conversations with it. It doesn't have it's not male or female. It doesn't have any form. It just tells me it's just it. And I'll think to myself, oh, it's recommending that I use this. And I'm like, what is it? I don't know what it is, but it's it, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
For you can have like a dialogue, actual dialogue with your it, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, certainly when I'm on San Pedro, I mean, you ask a question, you get a response, you hear something, you see something. I mean, it's so clear sometimes, frequently so clear. And also with the animals, it's very similar. It's like with the cactus or with plant medicine or with spirit guides or whoever, like we're tapping into, I think we're tapping into the consciousness of whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can get that response back from animals, from plant medicine, from spirit guides. When you're in the zone, when energy is running, when you're, you know, in the higher self.
Yeah.
Getting that response back can be super quick and very clear.
It can be. Yes. Especially for me when I work with my guides. It didn't at first, though, but it took a long time. And now they're pretty quick, unless they don't want to tell me. And I have to work it out of them some other way. Get a hint.
Then there's a lesson coming at some point.
Uh-huh. Well, they want me to find everything out the hard way. But for everybody else, they'll help them out. No, they help me out tons by helping all these other people out. And they will give me advice if I really need it, you know, and if I'm like really
for sure.
I'm stuck.
For sure.
You know, and I love what you're talking, like how you're talking about this method kind of to me, like I think I'd remember a lot more of my meditation or my focus, the intention, you know, whether I was going into a meditation with, say, for example, with that kind of dialogue with myself. And like you had said you decided yes, you can't walk this line and you're going to commit. I found that I didn't commit for a long time, or on again off again commitment, I guess, because I didn't believe it. I didn't know if it was real or not. It was really intense for me. I didn't have it was never turned off. I just didn't know what it was growing up. and stuff. It was just like, I thought I had all these feelings, but like when I was older, I realized I really didn't have too many feelings because I was feeling so many other feelings. Probably you relate.
Yeah, classic.
Right? I think a lot of people do, because a lot of people in high school are feeling everybody else's or middle school, everybody else's weird new insecurities. But some of us who just really internalize it, like I do, and like I did, thought it was mine. You know, I didn't know. I just like, why am I crying every day? Why am I happy in this class and sad in this class? And, you know, I couldn't figure it out. And I just thought I was sick. You know, and I kept it to myself. Until I was older.
And there wasn't a lot of support back then.
No, I mean, not in the 90s and 80s. No,
just wasn't. Right.
Not in Alabama. And, no. where were you growing up? Where were
you? In New Jersey.
Oh, okay, it's a little more. In New Jersey. I don't know. There's different parts of New Jersey. Was it accepted kind of where you were? That kind
of. Well, I mean, my first experience was going with any of this was going to a psychic in Asbury Park. And because my mother was going to him, and I was like, well, I want to go. And so I remember, like, as soon as I got my license, I'm like, I want to go see Jim. Like, this sounds like a hoot. I want to go. And I went to him multiple times. It was super helpful. And there was one time, it was after our session, and I said, I don't understand why do I always feel stoned when I walk out of here?
It's just tearing out your energy.
and he said, because you go deep into the meditation. And I said, oh, okay. And I thought, I don't know what that means. Like, it just made sense to him. I didn't know what that meant. Yeah. I just didn't understand it at the time. Because it only happened with him.
You seem like you can sync up really well. Maybe just in person. And then, because I feel like you can sync up with people really well and just kind of get in the same wavelength, just about anyone. It kind of feels like to me. And that can be like such an advantage to just helping people and to understanding what you need from them, what they need from you, and what you like about each other. You know, you seem to be able to pretty quickly.
I mean, it does show up like at this point in two ways with me. One is with the animals. I mean, it is so let me give it a quick background as to how.
I'm really curious about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So about a year ago, my wife and I go to the psychic fair in Carlsbad, California, sort of on a whim, right? Because coincidence. And we walk around, don't see anyone that we're really drawn to. And then we go back the opposite way. And I see this young lady and I go, hey, Jewel, what do you think? And she goes, that sounds great. You go first. And so I go first and I sit down with Adelita and she starts by drawing this heart. She's a medium. I never been to a medium. And at the time, I'm like, didn't really know who I was sitting with. And and really didn't subscribe to mediumship. It just wasn't part of my reality. It just wasn't. And she draws a heart and she says, this is either a former romantic relationship or it's an animal. And I don't know what I said, but she was just like, you're not getting it. And she kept going. And she's like, it's an animal. And like now like the waterworks start to come. Like everything is running, waterworks are going. My wife is over here. I look at her. And she's like, what's going on? She's like 10 feet away. And I just mouthed, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what's happening right now. And the message is, you did too much. And so now I'm thinking of Henry, who lived to be 22. The last 2 years of his life, back and forth to the vet, blood work, changing food, you know, hydration. You know, he's walking really Quasimodo. What was that?
Really trying, really helping.
Really trying. Yeah. Right. Like, and you know, there was this certainly like don't want to separate type of thing from me. And so the message you did too much was completely right on the money. Want right on the money. And now I'm caught up. Now I'm like, oh, right. Psychic medium. Now I'm here. Now I'm present. And then she throws this one at me. She says, they're now showing me Dr. Doolittle. They're showing me that you can talk to animals and it's going to be easy for you. And, you know, most people, I imagine, would go, now's a good time to ask for a refund. And my thought was, I've never heard anything more truthful in my life. Like this feels spot on. Yeah, this feels spot on to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I go home and I meditate with my living cat, Chucky. Like I do my meditation, I tune into Chucky. And I see this bright light, the kind that you would associate with like spirit guides, angels, you know, higher level beings. No, like my cat poops in a box and sometimes on the floor. Like this is not what's happening, right? Like this is where I was at the time.
Yeah.
Call her up. And I said, it's not happening. Like, never mind being easy. It's not happening. And her response is, you expect things to show up in a certain way, and that's not how this works. You just got to be the channel
that's
and let
right.
things come.
That's right. It's expectations can kind of screw it up.
For oh my God.
Really
you
look
at it. You want it to look just like this. Well, it doesn't. Like, look at all the things you're blinding out when you look yes. at it just like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I decided to give it another shot. Bought animal communication books, and I booked animal communication sessions with folks who do this.
Yeah.
Just trying to understand what it even looks like.
See examples. What do they do? How does it
right,
you
right.
on that side? And
right. Yeah. And so it's like 10 of the meeting with one of these animal communicators. And I get up from my living room table to go to my computer to Zoom, just like this. And as I get up, I see this really quick vision of Obi-Wan and Yoda from Return of the Jedi. Right. And I know that I'm being shown this student-teacher relationship, and I know it's coming from Chucky. And now I'm like, oh my goodness. And that was the light. He was the light. Now the pieces are starting to fall into place.
Yeah.
Right? And I get on the line with the animal communicator, and she's like, so do you know who he is to you? Oh yeah. No, I do now. And then we had our conversation, but yes. it was super clear, super clear. And once I got yes. out of my own way,
yes.
She was right. It was easy. And yes. it was easy because of plant meditate or plant medicine and the work I put into it with
both. Yeah.
With the meditation. Yeah, that did make it easy. Yeah, I firmly yes. believe that.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does help. I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but I have a spirit guide who is a cat that passed away, and she's just as human cat as anything, but she does have a special relationship with me that I've never talked about on the podcast that I figured out, like what her spiritual relationship is to me. But she's around all, like if you speak to the spirits of animals, she's the cover of the podcast. She's the orange cat on the cover.
Yeah. I saw her. I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. It's her. She's like right by my orange juice right now. Just kind of watching from my point of view. She's just kind of sitting right back here. And got this little Gandalf over here. You want to say, hey, do you speak with the living cats too, or animals, or do you speak with all animals, alive, dead?
I do, yeah. And I didn't know how that would work. And then
how does it work for you?
Yeah. So I asked Chucky one day to make the connection with Henry, the cat who showed up with Adelita.
Yeah.
And I actually totally forgot that I asked. And then like a week later, I'm sitting with Chucky doing a meditation. And I'm trying to locate him, and I feel him, but then I start to see Henry, and I'm like, this is like, it's not working today. Like again, like it's not working. Like I mean, that in between world is showing up.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, I heard orange and white tabby. And I'm like, orange and white tabby. And I'm like, oh, Henry was the white cat that we had at the time. And Mama Cat was the orange and white tabby. And now I remember asking for him to make the connection for me. So Chucky made the connection. And that was the day where I bought a journal. Like I started to write everything down because I forget.
They know our language. They know everything we're saying. I mean, my cats do. I just asked him to come over and he let you see him and you kind of chuckled. I think I don't know if you were chuckling at what you were saying or his little face, but I mean, they I think like their little cats, especially, are like mirrors for their people, you know, however
totally.
The treats the cat. And I've just never had dogs that much because I've been around dogs too much because I have an allergy to them. So usually, but lately it hasn't been bothering me. So
maybe a dog.
Yeah. I just love my cats. So I'm really a big
cat. Same.
So,
yeah. Me too. I love other people's dogs.
Yes, but other people's dogs. Yes,
I love other people's dogs. Yeah, but I'm a good cat person. Not a great dog person.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I have this cat right here. He appeared in a meditation when I was 24, the one you just saw poke his head over here. And a friend of mine got him for me, and his little pound mate brother, Einstein, who's running around. That's Gandalf. But I had seen him in a meditation when he popped out of the cat pound box that they got him from it.
And
I saw them both as grown adults. And I was like, that's the cat from the podcast. Yeah. I couldn't believe it was really happening. Like that's not real.
That wasn't even
a dream. That was a meditation, you know, and this cat, I would go on trance journeys with my guide, my main guide, Sam. This is before Morgana was in my life. and this gray cat that I never named, just that I knew my spirit. He was my spirit animal. And then when he came into my life, I knew, wow, he's a weird cat. They're all weird, but he loves me. He's like, mom, 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 mom.
That's cool. That's
yeah, I love cool. him. I love him yeah. to death. Yes, yeah, the best. We have a really great year. And Einstein's like, he's like, they're both just great cats. I mean, you know, and I've gone through, like, you know, I learned the hard way not to have too many cats. That it's not when I was younger and I had a house, you know, I'd taken strays or, you know, cats that needed homes.
I get
and,
it.
And it just didn't, you know, after a while having too many cats, it really, some of them got neglected and some of them would just leave, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. So I did learn the hard way not to do that. And so I'm really just sticking with the two animals at a time for now.
Cause they that's what we have.
And I think like that, yeah. especially if they're young, like a puppy or a kitten. And they want like that brother or litter mate kind of feeling. Or you get a puppy and a kitten, you know, they grow up.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So that's with you, cool. like when you, do you talk to like your friends' animals and stuff when you go to their houses and.
You know, I started doing that. So like things were showing up for me pretty good. You know, Chucky was showing up. We went to Mexico and I talked to a dolphin, random dog at Home
what
Depot.
What did it say?
Yeah, so I talked to Liz the dolphin. So we went to Cabo. We didn't get out of the house for years. This was our first trip anywhere.
Yeah.
And so we were just total kids in candy store doing all the touristy things. And one of the things was swim with the dolphins. And I don't like animals in cages and the dolphin, I never did. And dolphins are in tanks, right? They're not in the open ocean, right? So I sort of had to like just be okay with whatever that was. And at the end of it, we decided to go. And there was a point where we're on this little ledge that leads down into the deeper pool, and the trainer is here, and then right in up ahead, the dolphin is heads on looking at the trainer, and on either side there's three people, 1, 2, 3 on the left, 1, 2, 3 on the right, and I'm third on the right, all the way back towards the tail, and we're all just touching Liz the dolphin. And I thought, well, let me give it a shot. Let me just see if she wants to talk.
I would too. Yeah.
and so I felt her come in. I was like, oh, there she is. Okay. So now we're chatting. Like she picked up the phone. We're chatting now. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I got this overwhelming feeling of sad. And then my narrative kicked in because you live in a tank. Now I'm feeling a little guilty and feel like all my human feelings are showing up. And that's not how you do this, right? This is not your narrative. This is their narrative. So why? So I kicked that out and now I'm back and I asked why. And I got one word, and it was family. And then she was gone.
She wanted companions like we were just talking about.
Well, check this out. So afterwards, I talked to my wife and I said, hold on, I need to validate something. So I went to the trainers afterwards and I said, you know, Liz was awesome. I want to understand Liz, mom, dad, siblings, anything. Oh, well, dad's off the planet. Okay. It's not that. That doesn't feel like it is. What about mom? What about siblings? Oh yeah, they're here. Oh, well, where are they? Oh, they're in the other tank. What do you mean the other tank? Well, you know, mom had Liz and then 2 years later, she had another baby. And Liz still wanted attention from mom, and that was causing problems rearing the other baby. So we took the mom and the new baby and put them in the other tank. And they've been there for how long? 3 years. And Liz has never seen them. No, we had to separate them. Like, you know, like, what are you not getting? We had to separate them.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. So Liz is 5, doing the math. Liz is about 5, and she hasn't seen her mother since she was 2, and she has a sibling that she was introduced to and was taken away from. And she lives, and they live right over there. Aww. They're right over there. Right. So that was.
Did you tell them that she said that? Could you? Was it an atmosphere where you could or not?
It didn't seem like I would get a result from it, but I'll tell you this. And so afterwards, like a couple days later, I was like, this feels like, almost like a parlor trick. Like it feels like there's no point to it. Right. And so I sat down like at 5 a.m. sun's coming up, looking over the ocean. And I thought, well, let me give it a shot. Let me see if I can reconnect with her. Cause I've done that before. And I'm like, it's easier to reconnect once you make that initial connection.
Yeah.
And so I found her, and the conversation was around, you don't have to be sad. That you choose your reality. If that's how you want to feel, that's how you get to feel. But you have this opportunity to be this bridge between human and animals, and to be an ambassador has a lot of purpose. And as soon as I said the word purpose right in my head, I felt the best way I can describe it is this like reverse waterfall of energy that just shot up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, purpose. Okay. Like we all want a purpose. We all need to feel like we have a purpose.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that was unbelievable, that feeling. And I've heard of dolphin energy up to that point and wasn't thinking about it at all.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I thought, oh yeah, now I get it. Like I felt who she was at the time in the tent, you know, at the
her personality, who she is, her
totally,
soul.
Totally. Yeah. And I felt the, you know, like this subdued feeling of, you know, like what are you going to talk about type of thing. And then the purpose totally changed things. And that energy started to run. And that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cool.
Isn't it though? I just love that. That's just fascinating. And it's just the story is so, so relatable that she's going through or that she was going through.
For sure. Yeah. I mean,
there's as a, lot of a human can understand a dolphin suffering. Yeah, totally. A human would suffer that too. That's right. And a cat would, or a dog would. We would say that about our cats and dogs. Oh, they missed their brother who my son took or whatever. And they can mope around. You know, my son went to college and or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and the cat's sad. I actually adopted a cat one time because the woman who contacted me said that she kept beating up on their old cat. And so I took this cat in and the cat just was moping and depressed. And this was like in maybe 2011 or 12. And I called her and I said, this is weird. I said, but I work as a psychic and this cat is missing someone. The cat's not happy here. The cat's pining for someone. I don't know who it is. I don't want you to think I'm weird for saying I'm a psychic, but this cat really just wants to come home to somebody there. I don't know who. But the cat's very upset. And she said, she started crying. And she said, my son loves that cat so much. Mm. And he had Asperger's or autism. I can't remember which, but he was really attached to the cat. And she was also worried because the cat would sometimes scratch him. And I think he was about like 8 or 9. And I said, no, this cat is like really attached. She's like, he's attached to the cat too. Do you think I should take her back? And so I gave her some advice, you know, on how to put the cats together, because I've done that. And what this cat said, and you know what she said, that how they used to, what they'd fight over, you know, more litter boxes, more food, more this, more that, less of this, you know, stuff like that. And she did take the cat back and everything was better, you know. But that was an example where, you know, I just knew this cat was depressed. You could just see the, you know, missing. You just feel the missing. That
they're expressive. Yeah, they're expressive for sure. I mean, when we're going away and a piece of luggage comes from the garage into our living quarter.
Yeah.
You see the look on certainly Chucky's face. He's just like, oh God, like who's going to be here to take care of me this time? Oh boy.
Or the worst is the cat carriers when they get brought out.
Oh, forget it. Forget they scatter. They hear it. They hear the little zippers and they're just,
they just don't know what to think. They know what's happening there. They know they can't avoid it, but they still
trauma.
Yeah, so what I usually do, this does work, is I'll pull them out like a day or two before the appointment and leave them all, open all the doors.
Oh, smart.
I have ones with a top door and a front door.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go in there eventually and then they'll be so used to them when it's time to go, they don't know. So then of course they're ticked. I take them together whenever I go to the vet, because unless they're sick or something, you know, because they had to get their shots, because they just, it calms them down. You know,
No, I get it. Yeah. Familiar.
You know, you're just going to get me to talk about cats the whole, like for another 2 hours. So man, we got to wrap this up. tell me about, how can listeners find you, find out what you do? What do you do? How do you help people this way?
So in January, I, after having multiple experiences myself, I went on to Nextdoor, if you're familiar with that, right? It's like
Facebook. The app, the neighborhood app.
Yeah. It's like Facebook, but it's neighbors, right? It's very similar conversations, but they're neighbors.
Yeah.
And I said, hi, my name is, and I'm an animal communicator, which means I psychically talk to animals, and free 15 minutes, right? Like, let's see if this works.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea if it would work or not. And I was using Google Docs, so I can see, you know, it's in the browser, and you can see when someone submits the form. And
yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, what did I just say? And like,
you did it. You aren't walking in that liminal space.
right. Yeah. What did I say? What are people going to say? Will I be able to do this? Like, you know, all these feelings are coming through, and like mixed feelings. Yeah. And then I saw the first line get populated, you know, first name, last name, name, animal, breed, age. And I felt the woman come through, and I was like, this is going to work. And
yeah.
I talked to the animal first, and then I talked to the woman second. At the end of 15 minutes, she says, you know, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because my animal communicator passed. So I'm looking for a new one.
Whoa.
Would you be okay if I refer my friends to you?
That's yeah. so cool.
That yeah. I mean, so cool. The first one out of the gate, you know, like.
Yeah, that okay. that coincidence was really lucky.
that coincidence was very lucky, right?
But I have a question about that. Like, was it just online or on the phone or in typing, and you got in touch, or did you go to her house? Or
you know, I started to go to a folks' house at the beginning. You know, like the friends and family trial, like not really committing to it type of thing, and yeah. It's not good to do this with friends and family. You will lose Christmas cards. You're not going to get Christmas cards, right? Like it's just going to go down. that count's going down because
then you don't have to write those Christmas cards either.
That's a good one too. Because here's what happens. It's like, oh, tell me about Fluffy and why Fluffy is scratching so much. You know, like that's sort of why
and
people.
It's like you're not giving Fluffy enough attention, and it's like
like Fluffy wanted to talk about your job. Your job says your job has to change, right? Like that. Those are the conversations that show up, right?
They will.
They are here to help us, and yes. and so that is their come from is from a what is important right now, what is in service to this person. I'm here to help you,
yes,
and or to spend you know good time with you. Something
get a
like
scratch.
That. Yeah. And sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes it's like, just like, does she like to run around the yard? Yeah. Is she good at it? No. But well, she enjoys it. Here's what I saw. Right. Like, and sometimes it's just like that light conversation. Other times it's your job has to change. Okay. That's what we're talking about.
Did you
about
have
today.
Like a compulsion to start doing this, or do you just want to and kind of decided to? I'm very curious about that because for me, it's always been a decision. You know, the podcast is kind of a compulsion to do, but the work itself as a psychic reader, it's like a choice, you know?
So I would say there is multiple steps to it, right? Like,
yeah.
And forever, you everything is clear in hindsight. You can look back at the beginning, you know, age 20, things were starting to show up and I would see a psychic and, you know, the clairvoyant dreams, and 2017 started with plant medicine and then meditation and then, right?
Yeah.
But there were a few really key points around this has to happen. Like the meditation had to happen. I had to explore the dreams. I'm going to explore it this year. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to, and without knowing anything about what's going to turn up. So that was very important at the time.
Yeah.
And then it was the animals showed up and I really didn't know what to do with it. And, compulsion is, I can't use that word, but I will use that you being in that in between. I felt like I wasn't depressed, but I also wasn't in a funk. It was someplace in between. It was in between that. Right. And it hurt. It emotionally hurt not to move forward. And I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so every step I made to move forward just felt
kind of led you there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just in complete alignment. And I knew that staying here and whatever this was, experiencing it for myself was great. And now it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And then it was keeping it to myself wasn't good enough. Now I need to get out there. And that version of sharing it wasn't good enough. And now Now I'm on the podcast, right? And now I'm looking to get on a stage to talk to people about what this looks like and how you can develop your own intuition.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's what's opening up. And every time I take a step forward into that, it just feels better and better and more in alignment with what I'm doing.
And here you are doing it. We don't know. Podcast statistics are impossible to find out as far as I can figure. But, there's people like we get every once in a while, I'll get emails like we're in the top of the charts in Poland. Hey, Poland. Woo!
It's fantastic.
And I don't know why. But what's interesting is that I originally did it under the subject of the podcast under the category as society and culture. And then I switched it to spirituality and religion, but it didn't switch in the United States stores, but it did everywhere else.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, it's kind of weird. So I really don't know.
Yeah.
And, I just don't know. So somebody of it. Will be inspired by that. For me, that sounds like it was you were led. Maybe I kind of was too in my own way because my path was different, of course. So getting where I am right now, and who knows where it'll go. But I guess I can't say the podcast is a compulsion. It's more like I like doing it. I want to do it. Like what you're talking about is like you want to get on there and tell people, look, you can open your intuition up and you can feel this way. You can have these experiences that you thought weren't even feasible, possible. Your animals were gone. You thought you'd never see them again. And now you're finding out through like finding a whisker 5 years after they're dead or something.
That's true.
Or Nick just told you that. so I think that's really good that you have that, like that I do have a calling to do is to let people know that they're already doing something. Usually with their energy, it's not just pseudoscience, it's not a science. No. It's just already there. It's just happening.
You can develop it. I have this mixed feelings about gift and skill around the
skill is more what I think it is. And I don't know if it's spiritual. I really don't know if it's spiritual. I think it's like we all got it. Like a nervous system. We can't see our nervous system, but we have one. We can't see our endocrine system. I mean, we could pull a body apart maybe and trace it all down. But we can't with our eyeballs see hormones moving through the body, but it's happening, Right.
Yeah. I mean,
like
there would
be a way to measure the way the energy flows if we could figure that out,
I mean, there's only so much you can do talking about it and then you experience it. And you're this is some shit. Like, this is what is happening?
Yes.
And the reality just shifts. It just changes like almost overnight. So I work with folks, talk to their animals, which are typically like not about fluffy and that scratch. It's really like, what's going on with you? I'm just going to hear from the animal and I'm going to be the translator. So that's one thing that I do. Yeah. And the other is work with folks on developing their intuition. I've had very specific things that I've done that really helped me get from here to there. And the one thing is, if you don't have a meditation practice, get a meditation practice.
Yes, I agree.
Start there. And that makes everything way easier. But if you're looking for someone to help you guide you from here to there a little bit, because things come up and you may feel a little weird. You may feel like you're losing your shit. You may not have anyone to even talk to.
That's the hardest part. Yeah.
And here's what's showing up for me and how's it showing up for you. All right. So I have a young lady that I'm working with now and she's like, I was looking for a sign. We're looking for a sign. And I went on to Instagram and I saw you talking about talking to animals at a psychedelic club, District 216 a couple months ago. And so I saw the clip and I knew that I want to work with you. So she contacts me. I said, what's going on? Well, you know that I do this furniture thing. Yeah, you rehabilitate furniture, and then you sell it. But what else is going on? Well, what you don't know is what's been happening lately is someone tells me to go down a certain alley, and I find furniture there every time, and then I pick up the furniture and I feel the stories from it. And like, who am I going to talk to about that? Who's going to help me work through this? Like, it's not a career coach.
Yeah.
Right. So like, it shows up in so many different ways. And to have the outlet for someone to go, here's what it looks like. Like, what did it look like for you? And let's trade notes and understand, like, where can it go? And how do you best open up to it?
Yes. And some people so really get frustrated if it's not fast enough or it doesn't look like what someone else made.
Yes. Right. I mean, I was hearing things, seeing things, feeling things, then I thought, and then just apply that with animals.
Yeah.
No. So those expectations were wrong.
Yeah.
And once I got rid of those expectations and just was the channel that I was told to be, it, you know, experiences that I would have never been able to imagine started to happen.
That's awesome. So if anyone would like to talk to you about this or get services or, you know, get your help opening their intuition, where can they find you? Are you on Facebook or you got a website or?
Go to the website, nickmusica.com, NickMusica.com. And you can find me there. If you don't find what you want, you can fill out the form and let me know what you do want.
Okay, listeners, watchers, I'll put that, any info other than that he wants to, I'll put that and more, hopefully, in the description of the podcast. And I'd like to, at this point, thank our sponsor, Everclear. Everclear is an advice app where you can get advice from psychics and empaths so you can get the clarity you need to create the life you deserve. And Nick, let's see, I got to ask some advice for you for our listeners and watchers as a parting au revoir. How could listeners maybe get out of that liminal space, make a decision? What's a good step? What's a good question to ask yourself if you are in that space and someone just recognized it after listening to this podcast and they want to get out of it, but they don't know how? Like, is there a question they should ask themselves or something they can do?
I think if it's showing up for you, then you're, my opinion, you're obligated to explore it. I think that's the best thing to do, because if not, you could find yourself in a position like I was in, which I would highly recommend avoiding for months, just wondering is this reality? Am I losing my shit?
Yeah.
And you really don't need to be there. You can just accept that this is the new reality for yourself. And we all have a different reality and be open to whatever it is that's showing up, and that commitment to the openness, the intention of how you want to show up and what you can do with this changes everything.
I agree. That's great advice. And I think that was wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I've really enjoyed it. And listeners and watchers, you know, I love you. And let's see, I think we've got some more podcasts coming up next week. And with that, I would like to tell you to have a great time wherever you may be, and peace out. Thank you and goodbye. Want to say goodbye, Nick?
I wasn't sure if that was a sign off. Goodbye. Thanks, folks.